Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. See, you don't know what to do, do you? It's kind of awkward, isn't it? Say Happy Mother's Day to people around you real quick. Say it. Awesome. Well, I am so grateful to be here in worship with you today. My name is Tim Ward. I'm the pastor here at Crossroads, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to connect with you and spend this time with you. It's just really good to see all of you. I wonder if you might pray with me and for me just a moment. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all of those people in our lives who have served as moms, whether biological, by choice, by love, for those that have led and shared the joy of their lives and the struggles and the challenges of their lives with others. God, we pray this day for those that find Mother's Day to be really difficult. For those that had challenging relationship with their moms, for those that have such a deep desire to be a mom but haven't had that opportunity. And in the midst of the tension of those two realities, God, we give you thanks. Thank you for the love, for the determination, for the joy that is shared by so many. God, we pray too today specifically for the Michelle family. For David and Allison, Emily and Ian. God, for all of their family, would you walk with them? Let us show them grace and love. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show up in incredible ways today. God, that somehow you might speak through me. That you would give us ears to hear what you want us to hear of this message. That our eyes might be open to see. That our ears can hear something in a new way. That our minds might be open to understanding. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, happy Mother's Day. Today, I want to take a moment. I don't know if my mom's watching. I know my wife's here. My mother-in-law's here. To just say how grateful I am for moms. How grateful I am for the impact of moms in our lives. I like to say regularly that I am my mom's favorite child. There are four of us. Most of my siblings don't disagree. But I really love my mom and have a really great relationship with her. I'm so grateful. They live in Florida, and they've just headed this way, so they're here in this area, and I'm grateful I get to see her tonight. And a little bit of today's topic, as we talk about faith and science, is attributed to my own mom. My mom deeply loved being outside. She loves gardening. She loves going places. I remember as a child, my mom loved taking us outside. She wanted us to be outside. She loved the beauty of creation. She took us camping all the time. You know how hard it is to go camping with children? I mean, it is really hard. And she wanted us to get to experience the outside and get to experience creation and get to experience the earth. So if anything, this is a little bit of a tribute for my mom today. I wonder how many people are beach people? Raise your hand if you're a beach person. Okay, about half the room. How many people are more, or lake people? All right, we'll add lake people. Raise your hand. Beach or lake people? Okay. Sorry, I know, water's salty, the water's dirty. But anyway, all right, how many people here are like mountain and ski people? Okay, a few less, all right. I don't love the cold, so I am not a ski person. I love the mountains. I am a beach slash lake person. I really love the water, and I remember as a kid, we would go to the beach every single summer without fail. That was something that we did. And I remember we would go to Ocean City, Maryland, and we would get close to Ocean City. And we didn't always have cars that had great air conditioning. So we'd get to the place and you'd hit the traffic, which is always fun going to the beach. And you'd roll the window down and you could smell the beach. I mean, you smell that smell right now, don't you? Like you can feel the smell of the water and you know you're going to get there. And the anticipation and the excitement would fill. And before we would ever go to unload anything, before we would ever go to our condo or whatever, all of us kids would run out on the beach. And I remember looking at the vastness of the water. And even as a child, even though I couldn't articulate this, I could experience God in that place. Because when you go to the beach, you can look out forever and see nothing but water. Right? You can see the beauty of creation. You could smell it. You can experience it. And it's difficult for me to think about going to the beach or even being at a lake, going to the mountains, and not in some way experiencing God. in the midst of creation. So today we're going to talk about creation. We're going to talk about how beautiful creation is. We're going to talk about how it sustains us. I had the opportunity this last week to be in Honduras. I was there with a couple of folks from this church as we were checking out a new possible partnership and a relationship in Honduras. And it was interesting to me because I think about how many things we take for granted when it comes to the resources we use here. You turn on the faucet, what happens? Water comes out, right? How often do we think of where that water is coming from other than when we get the monthly bill, right? And it tells us that it's coming from the water company. But it's interesting when you go to a place where things like that aren't always as readily available, where you're not sure if the water's going to work, and then you see, when you talk to folks, oh, it comes from the river that's right here, you start to think about the gift that creation is. The fact that the air that we breathe is necessary for life, the fact that the plants give that life to us as humans, and we really start to think about our connection to creation and the importance of how deeply we take care of it. All of this is God's creation. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's so cool about this is it shows that God is creative. Creation, as we experience it, is a creative act of the Almighty. It is a gift to humanity. It's something we get to experience. And I wonder if we start to think about creation as a gift from God, how differently we might treat it, how differently we might care for it, what we might do. We've been in this series for 3 weeks now on faith and science. And we've been talking about the intersections of faith and science. And perhaps this topic that we're going to talk about is one of the easiest to talk about. Because as Christians, we have a deep call to care for God's creation. If we are people who follow Jesus and we say we want to do that, then we're called to do that. Science deeply believes that we are called to care for creation. And friends, frankly, we're not doing a great job. That's the bad news. One of the greatest threats that we have to creation is our use and our abuse of plastic. You might say, yeah, I've heard about it. Let's talk about it for a second. It has literally become part of our food chain. A garbage truck's worth of plastic enters the world's ocean every minute of every day. Think about how disturbing that is. Think about how terrible that is. Humanity has dumped up to 14 million tons of plastic pollution into the seas, and you can find it at the extreme depths of the ocean. Boy, that makes us think differently when we look at the ocean, doesn't it? When we think about God's creation and what we've done to it, much of it we can't see because it's been broken down by ultraviolet lights and by waves and things like that, but it's there. When researchers in 2015 analyzed more than 1 million pieces of trash in the Pacific, 99% of it was plastic. National Geographic ran this story some time ago about a dead adolescent whale that was found off the coast of the Philippines. It had 90 pounds of plastic in his stomach. Oh. That's terrible, right? What we're doing to God's creation is terrible. Here's the fact. Our current reality of the earth is very different than its design at creation. We're going to look at a psalm this morning, and the psalmist wrote for usually one of two reasons. Either to lament because they were sad about something and something was really hard, or to turn around and talk to God and say, God, how grateful I am in the midst of my life for the gifts that you have given me. So I want to look at Psalm 65 as it speaks to how we're called to care for creation. It says, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. Your streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that a beautiful way to describe God's creation? What I love about this text is that it points to God wasn't done creating in Genesis. That God is still incredibly creative, and the gifts that God gives us in that creation are beautiful. And when the earth was created, God says at the end, it is good. It is good, and we are called to respond to that. Personally, some of the most amazing moments of my life have happened in creation. when I'm out. Again, I think my parents gave me a love for that as a child, especially when we would go camping and things like that. A few years ago, I took a trip to Yellowstone with some other folks. And Yellowstone was beautiful, and Yellowstone's amazing. I don't want to knock it in any way, shape, or form. But we left one day, and we went out of the south end of Yellowstone, and as we pulled out, we saw the Tetons. Have you been to the Tetons? There's a picture here of the Tetons. I think we're going to show. There you go. Have you seen the Tetons? They are literally breathtaking. They are the bluest mountains I've ever seen. They are beautiful. And I remember sitting there and pausing and just thinking about, God made this. And then my friend Meredith, as we're standing there and we're looking at this beautiful thing, she says, yeah, but we got to go see this chapel. And I'm like, I don't want to go see a chapel right now. Right? I'm looking at the beauty of the mountain. She goes, Tim, trust me. So we get in the car and we drive and we go in this chapel and there's a window. Chapel's not particularly remarkable, but there's a window in the back of the chapel. And this is the view from that chapel. I mean, we got a view here. But that is something. Right? That is incredible. And I remember there were people that were trying to get up there and look through the window, and I was being incredibly selfish and wanted to just sit there and observe and experience the beauty of God's creation. And maybe it's just me, but I find that when I am immersing myself in the world, in those experiences, I have a different experience with God. I think about the creative nature of God. Most of us would be appalled today to see somebody throw a bag of trash out the window when they're driving, wouldn't we? Oh, we'd be disgusted by it. We'd probably pull up and try to get them to pull over and make them go back and get their bag of trash instead of picking it up for them, right? We would hate that. Most of us hate seeing heaps of trash in landfills. Not many people love driving by a big truck that has big black smoke coming out of it. When the oil spill happened in the ocean, people were devastated. They were furious with what happened. Here's what I want to say. I think as the church, as people who say that we love God and we want to respond to the things that God cares about, we must do better to care for creation. We must join our scientist siblings and say, what can we do? How can we step out? What are the things that we can do to make a difference? Because we are behind the eight ball. The church should be leading this for the world. Right? The church should be leading this. In Genesis chapter 2, God calls humanity to care for creation. It says, the Lord God took the human, settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. It is like the very first commandment. Go and take care of creation. So maybe today my goal is not even about convincing you. Maybe today my goal is not to even give you language to tell you to go out and help other people talk about the intersection of faith and science here. Maybe the goal today is to get us off our bums and do something. To do something to care for creation. To do something to love that which God gave us. Now listen, it's easy to look at this thing and say, it's just too big. It's too hard. There's nothing I can do. We look at big problems in the world all the time and we say, there's nothing I can do. I believe there are things that we can do to think about our relationship with the environment, to think about our relationship with God's creation, to think about what God is calling us to do that's maybe outside of our normal selves. We're part of this thing called the United Methodist Church. And in the United Methodist Church, we have these social principles, these places where we're called to do things, and they're really sharp and they're really important. And in the social principles, this is one of the things that it talks about as it covers a multitude of topics. It says, all creation is the Lord's, and we are responsible for the ways in which we use and abuse it. That word abuse is really important there. We're responsible for the ways in which we use and abuse it. Water, air, soil, minerals, energy, resources, plants, animal life, and space are to be valued and conserved because they are God's creation and not solely because they are useful to human beings. Well, if you put that on the mirror, we should meet these stewardship duties through acts of love and care and respect. If you put that on the mirror in your bathroom, you'd be one of those people that turn the water off while you're brushing your teeth, wouldn't you? If you put that in your car to drive from here to Junction Plaza, you'd probably walk next time, wouldn't you? You'd think if you put it on your phone while you were grocery shopping, you'd think about the things that you purchase and the amount of plastic that comes with those things. We would think about how we are caring for creation. So I know it's hard to think about where to start. I want to give us some moments today, some things that I think we can do that are tangible things. And I'm not going to get into climate change and things like that. Those are real things to pay attention to. Real things to think about, our footprint and how we affect things and how we impact our waters, the chemicals that we use in our air, all of the things in our food chain. There are things that we can do to step in and do something. So here's the first thing. I want to encourage you to be in awe of creation. Make an intentional decision to be in awe. When you walk outside today, think about the native plant garden that's just outside. Be in awe of the beauty of this place. And then I want you, maybe not today because it's Mother's Day, but I want you to go and I want you to get on the computer. You're like, Tim, you told us to go outside. Now we need to get on the computer. Get on the computer and look up Google Earth and look at your home. Look at your space. Look at the vastness of all that is around you. Pay attention to it. Become in awe of it. In 1968, there were pictures of the Earth taken by astronauts. And it was really, really fascinating. It became one of the most widely distributed photographs in all of history. In 1972, there was a particular picture, blue marble, I want to show you here. You see that picture? It's a remarkable picture. Along with other photographs of the Earth, it really helped ignite these conversations and push people about how we're supposed to care for the environment. It pushed the environmental movements. And isn't it a shame that it took pictures of this to push us to care for creation? That as a church, we haven't been the forefronters in saying, let's get out there, let's do something, let's make a huge difference. Because it's pictures like this that give us a scope of the vastness of God. You know, we say a lot at this church that we're called to connect with the greater community because it's easy to get caught up in our own little bubble. It's easy to think about my yard, my street, my thing. And when we pull ourselves back, and when we take a look at the vastness and the greatness of all of creation, it makes us think, what more can we do? So I want to encourage us to actually intentionally think about how we live in awe of creation, to spend time in creation, to experience it, to think about the way that we interact with it. That's the first thing, be in awe of creation. Here's the second thing, do something physical. Get outside. Go around your neighborhood and pick up trash. Walk along the paths and do it. Think about your recycling and the way that you do that. Think about the plastic that you buy. Think about the bags that you use. You know, Fairfax County now charges for you to get plastic bags in stores. Loudoun County doesn't. Some of us are really excited about that, right? That Loudoun County's not charging. Let's use reusable bags. Let's do something active that we can to care for the creation that we have. Get out there and do something physical. And here's the third thing. Make mama proud. On this Mother's Day, I want to do what my mom taught me to do. I want to care for the things that God has given us. Now, you might not have had that relationship with your mom. You might not have that thing. Your mom might not have cared about creation. Make my mama proud. Get out there and do something. Think about the way that we care for Christian. Moms give us this beautiful way in many of our circumstances of showing us love, of showing us compassion, of showing us grace. Let's do that same thing for the world that we have. What sort of legacy are we leaving for our children and our children's children and our children's children's children? How are we blessing them in the way that we care for creation? If all we do is say, yeah, that becomes some other generation's problem, shame on us. Shame on us for not caring about the gift that God has given us. Because friends, according to science, the future of the earth is grim. It's not good. We are treating the earth like it's a 50-year-old man that smokes, drinks, overeats, and never exercises. And we look at it as if we simply don't care. And eventually all that's going to catch up with us. It may not catch up with my children. But it'll catch up with my children's children or my children's children's children. And friends, I want to leave a legacy of an earth that looks more like the way God created it than it does now. It's not too late to start fixing things. It's not too late to start changing things. This is where our siblings in science have done so much work and so much research to push us, to encourage us. The evidence is there. It's out there for us. The question is, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to respond? In those social principles, we're called to be stewards of creation. A steward is someone who cares for something on someone else's behalf. How are we stewarding what God has given us? How are we going to be a better steward? The question I want to leave you with today, and I want you to think about, and I really want to invite us each to do the work on this. What can you do? What is your piece that you can do something to reverse what we're doing in this environment? And maybe the next time when you're buying something that's plastic on it, maybe the next time when you see trash on the side of the road, maybe the next time when you think about water consumption, you'll pause. If for nothing else, to say, how does God want me to respond to creation? And I hope in that moment what you'll hear is God saying, I created this for you, but I created this for everybody else too. Love me enough to care for the world. Moms, thank you. Thank you for the ways that you love, for the ways that you show grace. When we roll our eyes for how you don't, help us roll them back. For the care that you give and for the joy that you show. Amen.